Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to You're Gonna Know, Commander's Justice, the sports game show to test your knowledge of the upcoming game while defending your belief in your team's ability to win. Our job is to prove you wrong and explain why we think the Commanders will prevail. My name is Ken Harvey. I'm one of the judges, four-time Pro Bowler, and in the Washington Ring of Fame. Judge Marnie Snyder, the daughter of the first female GM of a team in the NFL, Susan Spencer, and the granddaughter of former Eagles owner, Leonard Tose. Judge John Booty, NFL legend, defensive back playing for the New York Jets, the Eagles, Cardinals, Giants, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're your judges, and welcome to You're Gonna Know, Commander's Justice.
Hey, welcome back to You're Gonna Know, Commander's Justice. And let's start off because we need to thank our sponsors. Without, you know, sound like an acceptance speech. Without them, we wouldn't be here. And so I'd like to thank Alex at Steel, Alex at Steel Real Estate. If you have any real estate needs, whether it be buying, selling, or refurbishing your home in the D.C. metro area, he is the number one guy, top guy. We love him to death, and he's been on the show several times. We also have PMSI Pest Control. If you have pest needs or needs to get rid of pests, not pest needs, and you need the company that can do it that has a proven track record with both winners and losers because they do the Commander Stadium and they do the Ravens Stadium. So they know a little bit of both. Restaurants, homes, whatever you need is to get rid of pests. If they trust them, then you can trust them as well. So PMSI, thank you for being our sponsor. As per our show, normally we talk about last week's game, which the Cardinals, the Commanders weren't in it. And so there's nothing really to talk about other than the previous games that have played, but we're going to have our guests do that. So what I want to do is pass it to Judge Marnie to introduce two Cowboy legends that we thought possibly could be here after a win. But she unfortunately has to introduce them after a, do you say loss or butt kicking or some other type of words?
Same thing. It's all the same thing.
It's all the same right now.
We all home. They all headed to Cancun.
Oh, geez. Well, we're really excited today to have two Cowboy legends with us. And good friends of the show and good friends of mine. So I'm very thankful. I'm very excited to introduce Timmy Newsom and Drew Pearson to join us today to talk about, of course, the NFC East and the Dallas Cowboys and all sorts of good stuff. So thank you guys for joining us. And with all that, take it away. I'm sure there's lots to hear.
Well, real quick, I want Judge John to introduce our other guest, who's also been a person who's been on the show a couple of times and one of our sponsors. And so, John, take Judge John.
Take it away. Hey, you know what? Just like a linebacker, you just rushed the quarterback. You've already done it. You've already sacked it. You already got the plug in. So all I have to say, Zach,
I am the head judge. There you go.
Well, once again, Zach, thanks for your sponsorship, you and your family, and Pete and Patty. I know that you're a Cowboys fan, and this is a treat to have you on with two Cowboys legends. And guess what? I was watching them when I was a kid. That was a long time ago. That was back in the 1900s. You know,
I still watch the Hail Mary with Drew Pearson just to see what it's like to win. Excuse me, sir.
That was the 1980s, not the 1990s, sir.
Okay, but still, the 1900s.
That was your daddy watching me.
I was only 5 years old then. God almighty.
But dad didn't watch. He loved it too. So,
Amen.
Let's just jump right into it. I was kind of thinking, like, should we talk football in general, or should we just, you know?
Hey, kid, I'll tell you what. Can I interject? Timeout. Hey, sure, let's talk about the other teams like Houston teams that play. Then we'll finish up with the Star. How about that?
That's what I was giving a big explanation to, but I was going to lead into jumping in. But let's talk about the games that previously played. Let's start off with first Philadelphia Eagles and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then this had to hurt you two judges kind of personally a little bit. John, you played for the Eagles. Marnie, that's kind of like your family tree roots. Your grandfather being one of the owners and your grandmother, the first female GM for the team, for the Philadelphia Eagles. It is what we thought it was. I mean, you can see the Eagles kind of going downhill. You were hoping that they would come back and possibly win, but what do you guys got to say about that?
That game for Philadelphia Eagles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we knew that going to that game, the Eagles were going downhill. You know, they had lost that. Brown was not in the game. The offense just sputtered. Defense was last in the league pretty much and trying to stop somebody. And you saw that evident on Monday night. So it was just no surprise here. So, you know, I thought the Eagles going to go give a good showing, but it didn't. And they didn't. But the Buccaneers, they were blitzing. They couldn't pick up the blitz. And they just got outmanned, you know.
Judge Morney, what do you got?
Well, so it was in 1980 – when Drew and Jim play.
There it is.
In 1980, the Eagles actually were the favorite to play the Tampa. They played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the divisional round, and they lost. And so it had a lot of similarity. What happened? And that Doug Williams was quarterback in 1980. So I think that the Eagles were favored to win this game, but they just seemed like a team that had never really played football before. And I was really surprised. They had already beaten the Bucs earlier in the season. So I was thinking that they would have it together by the time they got down there, but that did not happen. And there were injuries, and maybe Jalen Hurts is more injured than we think he is and so forth. But it just was not meant to be. And unfortunately, they had been in a free fall and couldn't get out of it.
I was purposely saving the Dallas players and fans for the latter part of it, just kind of like you being in the playoffs, and so you can kind of give your little shot, but then you're off the show. that's a bad little joke. But anyhow, what do you guys, Zach? Let me start with you. What do you think? You know, instead of because we only got so much time for this show, the whole weekend of the sports games, you had the Texans against the Browns, you had Miami against Kansas City, the Buffalo against Pittsburgh, and then you had the LA Rams against the Detroit Lions, and then we'll save the Cowboys and Green Bay for last, but. With all those other than the Cowboys and Green Bay, what did you think of this weekend in the playoff games?
I think C.J. Stroud showed that he's not just your normal rookie. I think that's the future right there, to go in and win against the Cleveland Browns defense that had been feared by most of the league. He tore him up and put on a show. So did that defense, but he just looked like a poised 10-year vet going into his first playoff game, and it was shocking and impressive the way he went out and dismantled Cleveland like that. Everyone forgot about Joe Flacco for all his accolades all year, comeback player of the year, not so much anymore. So big shout out to Houston. They'll have quite the test in Baltimore this weekend, but they look like a team on the rise. Same with coach of the year, or it better be coach of the year, D'Amico Ryans. For the Lions and Rams, that was what I thought was the best game of the weekend, just back and forth, a lot of emotions with both quarterbacks, and I think that was a big hump for the Lions to come out of that on top and now to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to get a second home game in Detroit. And I was really happy to see a city like that that has been just on the losing end of every possible loss you could think of finally get one in the postseason. Especially since their last win was against the Cowboys and 1991, so people can stop talking about that. And who else played?
Well, let me stop you there, and let me jump on to some of these other guys. And first off, let me apologize because I am from Texas, and my dad would slap me upside my head right now for being disrespectful to you guys. So I apologize. You know, I just play around. In case my dad's watching this, I apologize, Dad. Forgive me. All right, Timmy. Do you prefer Timmy or Tim?
Timmy.
All right. So I looked, you know, some of your background and all that stuff, and I mean, you had a journey. You had struggle, but you had to work your butt to be in the position that you were in. And it wasn't like a straight shot, first round draft pick, you're the superstar, all that. With some of these games, the underdogs, do you think being an underdog can sometimes be an advantage because you've learned how to work harder at making yourself relevant and being in a position? Or, and some of the teams who are already, you know, a crowned victor before they even get there, they think they're going to make it. And so they kind of give up something without actually just really, you know, pushing the fight through.
When there are lower expectations, you become hungrier at the quest of trying to prove people wrong. And I think that was the case with Green Bay. I think that was the case with a lot of these other teams that played over the weekend. It's important to note that the preparation on how players approach it, how coaches approach it, is the key to success. You know, all of the home teams won except the one in Dallas. And so it really helps to have that home field advantage, which is what was the case here, except Dallas just wasn't able to overcome some of the things that they had miscues of during the season. But yeah, expectations are huge. And if the expectations are not very high on certain people or teams, the teams themselves say, hey, nobody expects us to be here, so they're just going to work just a little bit harder.
Do you think, and since we just kind of jumped in a little bit with the Cowboys, do you think that expectation has to be set with the coaches and then it feeds down to the players? Do players take it upon themselves? You know, does it have to be a right balance of player leadership to create a winning team, or is it start at the top, you know?
Well, I think coaching certainly helps. The game plan that they put together and so forth is going to be key as to whether or not the players buy in on it. And if that buy-in is good, then the results are going to be good. It looks as though with the Cowboys, they just didn't buy in on the game plan.
Yeah, yeah. And then Drew Pearson.
Yes, I'm here. Hey, Timmy.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good to talk to you, Timmy. All right. You know you're one of my faves, bud. Always good to hear from you, man. Okay. Amen.
Well, Drew, I saw Mike Irvin on TV or on internet, and he had this, you know, it was probably kind of a meltdown. I mean, you know, he's emotional. You know, he's like, you know, this is not what we signed up for. When you come to a team and you have a team with a reputation, you buy into that reputation, you fight for that reputation, you try to exceed the next, you know, the previous generation. What do you think is missing with this group of Cowboy players or this, you know, this generation of Cowboy players that when you guys played in Mike Irvin's time, when they played, that they had and this group don't seem to have?
Well, that's easy. Talent, number one.
And
coaching. You know, we were very talented throughout our football team. I played with Hall of Famers. Michael Irvin played with Hall of Famers. How many guys on this team will be Hall of Famers? Maybe Tyron Smith, if he's healthy enough to make this ceremony. That's a little joke.
Gotcha.
He's always hurt. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, you know, talent and then coaching. You know, look who coached Michael and them, Jimmy Johnson. And the coaching staff that he had with Dave Wanstead and Norv Turner and those guys. And look at us with Timmy and us. You know, we had Tom Landry. You know, we had Dick Nolan, Ernie Stoutner. You know, these guys were great coaches. So we had all that going for ourselves. So maybe that's the difference. But in that game the previous year in the playoff game against San Francisco, going into each of those games, San Francisco and Green Bay, the thing that stuck out to me is that when you hear that whistle blow, you got to come ready to play. You're the Dallas Cowboys. San Francisco came in here in Texas, AT&T Stadium, and they wanted to shut everybody up. So what do? They punched us in the mouth from the beginning of the game. And what do? We sat back and took it. And they whooped us, and we got it together late in the game against San Francisco. You know, we tried to win it out with Dak in that last drive, but it was too late. And then here we go against Green Bay. They come in with the same attitude. And they're going to hit us in the mouth because they watched the films of San Francisco and said, what did they do to them? They out-physical. And that's what they did to us. They hit us in the mouth, and we took it, and we did not meet the intensity level. And Timmy will tell you, when you play in the playoffs, your intensity level has to rise to a different level. And if you don't meet your opponent's intensity, emotional level, you're going to have days like the Cowboys had against Green Bay.
Drew Pearson.
Give me some tissue. I'm about to cry.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Well, look. How old? If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 73. I was 73 Monday.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
It's so cool that.
And I can still go out and up. I can still run a route. It might take a while.
I think both of you guys probably could have suited up on Sunday and played a better game, for sure.
As long as Timmy can pick up that blitz, I think he can do it.
Timmy had no problem with that.
John always gets on me about my jokes, and so I had a joke.
I'm gonna throw it out now,
but take no offense to it. But instead of you kicking up the dust behind you, dust will be falling off of you because you're old, blah, blah, blah. Okay, okay. My joke year is over. I'm done.
Hey, Marty, can we pull a coup?
So, judges, get me out of here and help me out. Judge Marty, you got some questions.
Well, so I know that that you guys were at the game on Sunday and that the crowd level and the energy was obviously there prior to the game. But I mean, what happens now? Like, so what happens now? The fan base is obviously incredibly disappointed. And what happens? What do you guys do? Timmy, Drew, what's next for the Dallas Cowboys? Because we want them to.
It's evaluation time. You know, we run a lot of football games. A lot of teams would like to be in this position. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of teams would love to have won the East or their division. We won our Eastern division. You know, our problem is not through the regular season. What needs to be identified, what is the problem once we get into the playoffs? How are we approaching this? What is the mental aspect? Are we practicing right? All these different things have to be evaluated. And I don't think the Cowboys need to switch coaches, you know. Jerry Jones is, 81 years old? He ain't got time to rebuild. What are you going to bring Belichick in here? You know, Belichick's older than me, too, you know. And I know how I feel at my age. So, but anyway, Belichick, they talk about Pete Carroll. Those guys are Band-Aids. You're better off keeping McCarthy. And then another thing, if you let McCarthy go, he's the offensive coordinator pretty much right now. That means Dak would have to learn with a new offensive coordinator, and it ain't the first time in his career, maybe about the third or fourth time in his career, where he had to switch offensive coordinators. And that's going to set the team back. So Jerry sits in a situation with his age and where he is right now. He's going to try to figure out what it is and find the missing pieces or eliminate the missing pieces or the pieces that are causing the problem or whatever, but he's not going to get rid of that coach. Not at this point.
Judge Marnie, we're going to go to break, and then you'll come back and pick it up when we come back from break.
Okay.
And then the question to think about, would you, like, go to an outside source? Like, if you keep the same coaching staff, would you go to an outside source to try to figure out, like, consultants or something to figure out what's wrong with the team and what do you need to do to change it or try to keep it internally in-house? When we come back, Judge Marnie, your show. Back
right.
In 2 minutes.
Thank you,
Drew. Are you sure about that?
And we're back with You're Gonna Know, Commander's Justice. All right, so Drew, I really like what you had to say. Oh, okay, yes. Sponsored by PMSI and Alex is Still Real Estate. So PMSI for all your pest control needs in the DMV and Alex is Still for all of your real estate needs in the DMV. All right, so Drew, what you had to say about keeping the coaching staff and everything, that's great advice. I'm sure everybody is saying like fire Mike McCarthy and whatever else. All right. So Timmy, what are your thoughts on that? And, you know, how do you how do you pick up this team and like make everybody excited to start watching the Cowboys in 2024?
Well, you know, I kind of go back to the early 1980s when we went to three straight NFC title games and people talk about tearing up a team and starting over. And an attempt was made to try to do that, and that didn't work. I think everybody just needs to relax, calm down a little bit, and just kind of assess what needs to happen going forward with a great football team and a great quarterback and a great coach. Winning is hard in the National Football League, let's be very clear. And how you game plan and how you do that determines whether or not you're going to be successful in the playoffs. So it's just a matter of having a reassessment by management and by the scouting department and others. I mean, they've drafted very well over the past few years. They just have to put the pieces together, get the confidence that they need so that they can catapult themselves past that first round.
Yep, exactly.
Agreed. Right, so- I agree. We just need to get over the hump, you know, but we got to get to the hump, you know. Here's the thing. The NFC East is, you know, up in turmoil right now. Washington, Commodores, I mean the Commanders. Going to hire Lionel Richie, quarterback.
Trying to build a brick house.
Yeah.
We're going to be singing Jesus.
The Commanders
love.
Are looking for a head coach. The Eagles might be looking for a head coach. The Giants, what are they doing up there? You know, so we don't need to start all over. We just need to regroup and find out identify what the problem is and try to fix it and get over that hump and correct it. Don't do the same things. You know that they say about, what is that, insanity, repeating,
yeah, if
doing
you do
the
it
same
over
thing
and over again.
Over. Yeah. You know, don't do it. Something's wrong. Identify what that is. But when you look at the rest of the division and you see where the Cowboys are, we could be a step ahead of the other teams going into the season, you know, with the same team and all that, as opposed to other teams coming in with new systems, new coaches, and all that. So that's something to think about as well for Jerry.
I definitely agree that I think that keeping everything intact and just adding a few missing pieces will give the Cowboys an advantage going into the following season, because other teams the Eagles obviously have had, you know, they have their problems, and the Commanders, who knows what's going to happen with them. And the Giants were so all over the place this year, you know? Yeah. So, all right. So Timmy, so when it's off season and how do you emotionally like recover from these kind of dramatic losses that you've had a couple of big losses of getting into the playoffs and not getting far? What do you guys do during that time?
Well, there's an evaluation period for a couple of months. Once that evaluation period is over, you sit down with your position coach and talk about the things you didn't do well and the things you did well. And then you start that off-season program all over again. And hopefully by training camp, that the things that happened the previous years you would have forgotten about, and you're able to move forward and be a better football player as a result. They're not far away from where they need to be. It's just a piece here and a piece there. And if they can get the confidence that they need and the momentum is very important. If they can get that momentum down the stretch, I think things will be vastly different. Now, a lot of people don't understand that the NFC East hadn't had a repeat a division winner in 20 years. Right. So it's hard. And so there's always somebody at the top and somebody second, somebody first. And that's happening every other year. So it's just very difficult division to play in, but you got to have that confidence and that momentum going into the playoffs to where you feel like you can win games and those close games, whether you're playing at home or on the road.
All right. So I know that both of you guys, when you were playing on the Cowboys in the offseason, had jobs, had other things that you did. You had like your second and third career. Do you think that that would help? I mean, do you see a difference in like the players and like some of their grit or some of the other things that are different, obviously, than when you guys were playing? Drew?
No, you know, to play football, you got to bring it the same way. It doesn't matter how much you're making or you have jobs and stuff like that. We worked in the offseason because we had to work. You know, my first year salary in the league was $14,500. All right. You get that through 14 NFL weeks. And when the season's over, you know, I played in two playoff games. And the next week, Harvey Martin, Billy Joe Dupree, and myself were at the Zales Corporation asking for a job. And we were hired, and we went from playing in playoff games to selling shoes and athletic equipment. But those are the kind of things we had to do. They don't have to worry about those kind of things. Right. You know, I don't know what it's like to make $49 million in one season. Okay? How do you deal with that?
All right? How do you do that?
If I made $49 million, each and every one of y'all would be a millionaire eventually. I'd give y'all money. Shit, I just give you money. If I miss you this year, don't worry about it. I catch up to you next year. You know.
So
think about that kind of money, Timmy. You're a finance guy and all that. Think about that kind of money, Timmy. That if we were getting that kind of money, but we didn't get that. No. Everything we did was based on the success we were having as a Dallas Cowboys. And not necessarily winning it every year, but being successful every year that people wanted you to be like America's team. So now you take that and you use it in your life after football. Mm-hmm. You know, that was my calling card when I retired. I'm a former Dallas Cowboy. Look at all these sponsors that pay big money to say that. They're associated with the Dallas Cowboys. Timmy and I could use that because we paid the price on the field to use that. And we use it in our lives after football. But we all, with Coach Landry, it was all like a business anyway. Right, Timmy, the way he ran the team.
Yep.
And he taught us some business acumen while teaching us how to be good football players at the same time.
Yeah. Exactly.
We all worked, right, Timmy? Tell them about the job you had. I know you worked.
Well, you know, I had an information technology job my whole career every offseason. And it was encouraged by the Cowboys to go out and look for work. And in some cases, they would help guys find jobs. So it was a relief to be able to go out in the community and participate in the community events and affairs so that we could stay in tune to what we were doing on the football field. And I think that helped a great deal. We weren't isolated, in other words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point, Timmy. We were out there, weren't we? You know, doing charity stuff and stuff like that. These guys, you know, if half the team, well, more than that, players on this team showed up here right now, I wouldn't know half of them. I wouldn't know who they are. Put the uniform on or the number, maybe I could recognize you. But again, they don't get out like we did. And that was encouraged back in the day with us.
Yep.
Yeah, I love hearing those stories from you guys. All right, so Zach, I know you're a huge Dallas Cowboy fan. So, all right, this is the time where you get to ask Timmy and Drew the questions that you've been storing up for decades. Go for it.
That's a lot of pressure right there. But I think CeeDee Lamb coming off his highest all-time Cowboy record for receiving yards, catches, and almost touchdowns has kind of put him into that upper echelon of someone who's here to stay for a long time. Do you think you were better than him, Drew?
It ain't about that, you know. It's an error thing, you know. If we had 20 passes thrown in the game, that means we're losing, okay? We're trying to come from behind. You know, now they throw first down, second down. You know, it was a running back league back then. You know, that's where all the great running backs came through. Dorsett, Errol Campbell, Walter Payton, you know, all these O.J. Simpson, all that was established back in the day because it was a running back league. Now they throw the football. But no, here's what CD's all about. CD's all about the 88 club. And what he's doing, he's taking the 88s to another level. He's taking the 88s to history. We text each other all throughout the game, me, Michael, and Dez, and CD's on the feed, including our honorary member, Post Malone. He's on the 88 club feed, and we're encouraging each other. We're saying CD's balling today. CD's on fire. CD, look at that out route. Look at CD where they're lining them up now. And all only thing, we don't want CD to respond, you know, until after the game. Right. You know? And he doesn't. You know, after the game, he says, I'm holding it down for the 88s. And he understands what that means. But that's not the only thing that makes CD what he is. CD's a great guy, first of all. And CD understands the position he's in, not being the 88, but what his value is to the Dallas Cowboy offense. And so he's in great condition through all those catches and all those yards he got this year. He never missed a game. He doesn't take plays off. And that's what the 88s are all about. So we're real proud of CD. Amen. Don't get me started.
I love it. And Timmy, do you think the X factor that Dallas is missing is a all-pro fullback?
Well, personally, I think fullback should return. But, you know, the game has changed so much. It's a passing league now. That position has probably been taken over by a tight end for the most part. Mm-hmm. But I think it helps to have that kind of a player in the backfield to thwart maybe them blitzing from time to time. I've always felt like they should have never gotten rid of it for obvious reasons, just for protection purposes and blocking purposes. But, you know, the league is going to come around and come to their senses, and they're going to bring back a fullback eventually, and then everything will be fine.
Yeah, maybe that's one way to keep quarterbacks healthy, you know, right. Having that extra blocker in the backfield and keep those defenders off hitting those quarterbacks.
Exactly.
The 2-1 seeds right now have the two top fullbacks in the NFL, Kyle Juszczyk for the 49ers and Patrick Picard for the Ravens. So clearly it's working for them. I feel like the rest of the league maybe should follow suit to up their run game.
Exactly, yes.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. And then I'm going to pass it over to John. So we'll take a break and be right back. And we're back with another segment, our final segment of Commander's Justice, You're Gonna Know. All right, so sponsored by Alex Still Real Estate and PMSI, your pest control in the DMV. All right, now I'm going to pass the ball to Judge John. Take it away, you know, another Texas guy.
You see that interception?
I know.
I jumped in front of Drew Pearson on that one. See, he just ran it took him a while to get down the field, and I read Ken got past Timmy Newsom. Roger had to throw the ball quick, and I jumped in front of Roger. Drew Pearson got an interception, huh?
I like that, John.
I threw a couple of interceptions, but I never got one.
Hey, you know, you were a quarterback. Coming into the league, right?
I was a quarterback in high school. I replaced Joe Theismann at quarterback in high school. He was all state, and when he left to go to Notre Dame, I moved into quarterback and became all state quarterback my senior year. I had offers, chose Tulsa over Nebraska, more for baseball than football, and started my sophomore year at quarterback for Tulsa. Threw three touchdown passes in the NFL.
So
they
you
got a higher quarterback rating than Roger Staubach.
Oh, I'm just, there it is. Hey, we got to get
right, Timmy
fame as a quarterback, y'all.
Hey, Timmy, we ran those plays. They weren't called flea flickers. What Coach Landry call them? Deceptives.
That's
we're
right.
Deceiving the defense. Oh man, we had a whole playbook section of deceptives.
Oh wow. So, nice. So, Timmy, what other position did you play in college or in high school?
In college, I was a tailback. In high school, I was a cornerback. I didn't play offense hardly at all.
You didn't? And,
no, I did not play offense in high school at all.
Wow.
And so when I got to college, they moved me to tailback, and I played that my whole career. And I gained almost 4,000 yards on the ground. Got to Dallas, and they moved me to fullback because of my size. Uh-huh. And so I did that, and then I was backing up Tony Dorsett as well. So I played fullback, tailback, and tight end in the pros.
So how many deceptives did you throw in?
I didn't throw any. I had a chance to throw a couple, but they were thwarted by the defense, so I just tucked it and ran.
There it is.
Hey, John, real quick. Timmy, how much did you weigh when you came into the league as a fullback?
I was 240.
240.
Wow. Yep. And Timmy,
hey, at that weight, they lucky you didn't put you on the line, man. Lineman back then, right, Timmy? Weighed 240, 250 pounds, man.
That's exactly right.
It's amazing, yeah. Timmy. Ken asked that question because even now as a linebacker, been out of the league for 100 years, he always sizing people up. You know, and so he's like, Tim was 240 back then.
I was true, John. You know me way too well. I'm sizing them up.
Yep.
So I'm reaching back into my Cowboy history growing up in Carthage, Texas, and East Texas. Everybody loved the Dallas Cowboys on a Sunday. You go to church and you go watch the Dallas Cowboys. And I remember this one particular play that number 88 caught a long pass and celebrated, hurt his knee. Mm-hmm. Coach Landry didn't say anything to him, but next thing you know, he's running another seam route down the field. Tell us about that story, Drew. When you tweaked your knee.
Yeah, oh, I remember because it cost me my streak of one. I had 100 straight games in the NFL at that point because of hurting my knee, hyperextending it after that play. I couldn't play 101 in Philly. But, we played the Giants. I'm from Jersey, so I get excited when we play those guys. I had scored a touchdown earlier in the game. And this was actually my second touchdown in the game. It was just a quick out. Roger hit me on the sideline. I got excited. I didn't know whether to throw the ball in the stands or give it to the cheerleader. I decided to throw it in the stands. When I came down wrong on my knee and twisted my knee. And so the two teammates came in. Picked me up, carried me back to the bench. Coach Landry looking at me like, oh, yeah, okay. And so I get to the bench. We kick off to them. The first play they run, we get a turnover. So I got to go back out there on the field. I got to save face. I'm embarrassed for falling down, getting hurt in the end zone and all that. So I got to go back. I'm thinking Coach Landry going to call a running play. We're in their territory. We got the lead. We're just going to run the football. I go back out there. You know what he called? Remember this play, Timmy? Fire slant, 45, wing post. Guess who the wing was? Me. I went out to the field limping like this, lined up and ran that post on hut hut. And Ray Rhodes, the Eagle coach, was a cornerback. Mm-hmm. He was with the Giants then. I guess Ray thought that was a move because I limped through the whole route. I ran the route like this. And I went to the post, ended up catching a 44-yard touchdown. Wow, but the next week, we played the Philadelphia Eagles in Philly for first place, and I couldn't play that game. If it was anywhere else, I probably could have played. But being in Philly with that turf and so hard, I went out there for pregame warm-up. I came in. Coach Landry said, Drew, can you go? I said, Coach, I don't think I can go. That was one of the hardest things I ever said to Coach Landry, eye-to-eye like that I couldn't go. You know what he said? Why don't you go out there and start the game, keep your streak going, and come off the field? Oh, wow. Tom Landry. A lot of people didn't know he was like that. Right, Timmy? He didn't know that he had that kind of heart.
Yep.
You know, he cared that much. He even knew that was going on, you know? Yep. So I said, no, Coach, I don't want it that way. So we ended up winning that game 13-6. And guess who caught the winning touchdown? Butch Johnson. My replacement.
So
Butch Johnson, who replaced me. Yeah. So next week, I was ready to go. I said, Butch, you ain't getting this job.
So Timmy, Timmy, I need to hear one of your favorite Tom Landry one-on-ones.
Oh, wow. I guess the most conversational piece I had was he told me he's going to move me to tailback from fullback. And I said, Coach, I don't know if I want to play tailback. I said, I'm not going to beat out Tony Dorsett. He said, no, you won't. He said, but James Jones got hurt, and we don't know if he's going to be able to go this season, so we want you to be ready to play both positions. And in training camp, I said, okay, I'll do it. And so that's kind of how I approached that season for the whole year, and I was able to do both.
Mm. So that's you know, I'm in fan mode because I remember – Preston Pearson, Robert Newhouse from my home area.
Yep.
Ron Springs. Yes. I'm like, and Laidlaw, number 35.
Yep. 35. Scott Laidlaw.
Yeah. So I'm like, wow. And then I was coached by Dan Reeves in New York with the Giants. I'm like, man, here are a couple of great running backs here, you know? And just watching you all, I'm like, man, this is beautiful. And I'm hoping I'm missing anybody.
Technically, I replaced all those guys. I replaced Preston Pierce, and I replaced Newhouse. Scott Laidlaw got released the year I got there. And so Ron Springs was traded to Tampa Bay. And so in one way or another, I replaced all of them.
Mm. Yep.
So
I was coaching at that time when Ron Springs was traded.
Yeah.
And that was a tough decision. But knew he had Timmy. We knew he had Timmy, so they made that decision and went with it. And man. Yep.
So Zach, I know your dad is a big Cowboys fan. Throw a question out there that you think your father would ask of these two Cowboy legends here.
Something my dad would ask would be, I don't know, is one of your Super Bowl rings for sale? Probably something ridiculous like that.
There it is.
Don't even try it. This is how I get free stuff.
He's definitely a Drew Pearson, obsessive fan. That 27, he would ask about the 2017 draft in Philly, where you tore Philly fans a new one. And was that something that you had planned for weeks? Was that something that you had planned that night? Or were you just tired of listening to those Philly fans and wanted to show them who the America's team was?
Oh, that part for sure, the last part. Hell with the Eagles.
Hey, let them know I'm sitting right here. Right?
I hear you. I know, that's why I'm saying it. But that was, I thought about what I was going to say. I kind of written it out on the airplane going up there, because I wanted to do the Cowboys right, because they selected me to do this. There's so many other guys they could have picked, the Hall of Famers, Ring of Honor guys, other guys, players, great players. And so I wanted to do it right. So when I'm back there in the green room waiting for my opportunity, most guys were just getting their card, reading it, and coming right back. Well, I'm saying, this is national TV. I'm gonna take a little bit of this air time, you know, for being here, sitting in his green room. Clinton Portis had gold pants on and gold shoes, that red skin color gold, you know? Uh-huh. I'm like, hey, man. And Clinton, Harry Carson went out there. He read his card and came right back. So anyway, I knew what I was going to say, but commissioner introduced me, and he come back. The booze are going crazy. And commissioner said, hey, Drew, are you ready for this? I said, yeah, commissioner. I said, I'm used to being booed in Philly. If it wasn't for the Eagles, I wouldn't have had a career in the NFL. You know what he said? He said, say that. So I said it. And by the time I got to the stage, I was just fired up, and it just came out that way and gave me the opportunity to gig the Eagles. And what I did was I focused on one Cowboy fan that was in that crowd. And that's who I'm really talking to amongst all those other Eagle fans. But it was a big deal. And now a whole nother generation. As a matter of fact, when I got back home, my grandson, Bryce, said, Grandpa, I didn't know you were Drew Pearson. He thought I was just Drew Pearson. So that was a big moment. Now everybody continues. But here's the deal, guys. For a guy not getting drafted, you know, now I'm known for the draft. So that's how life works. God is good, right?
Okay. You know, a lot of talent. Timmy, I want to ask you this question. What round were you drafted in, or were you drafted?
I was a 6th-round draft pick.
And a lot of talent. How many draft picks back then? How many drafts?
12. Yep.
And at one point, it was 17. I was a 10th-round pick. You know, there's a lot of talent that's in that latter rounds of free agents.
Yeah,
right here on this podcast. You know, only one first rounder is on this podcast. And that's Marnie.
Marnie, yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
And she drafted herself.
Right? She drafted herself. Yeah. And so the deal is about finding talent. And I heard something the other day with Michael, like Ken said, Michael was on his soapbox, and he said at the 94 season when the Cowboys lost to the San Francisco 49ers, they had a chance, but they lost that game. He said, to a man, that offseason for the 95 season, to the man, and I think all teams should be thinking this way. I know when I played, I would think this way. They all got quiet pretty much and just concentrate. We're not going to lose. Have a losing season. We're going to win the Super Bowl next year. And I think from the Eagles to the Giants, Cowboys, they should have the mentality of the 95 season Cowboys to say, listen, we got the talent. To a man, what are we going to do during this offseason? We don't have jobs. Our job is to get in shape. Our job is to get our mental ready to play football. The greatest job in the world is to go out there and hit somebody and have fun with it and get paid a lot of money for it, right?
So hey, let's go perform. You left our Commanders out of your list. You said Eagles, Jets. Oh, you said Eagles, Giants, and Philly, but you left out the Commanders. Come on.
I'm sorry. I got this cap on. You're right.
Yeah, you
do. The Commanders should be thinking that way, too.
Thank you. Thank you.
And like I thought Bruce, that W was waste management.
What was that? Like Drew says, did I say Commanders or Commodores? Commanders.
Commodores.
And their goal is what? To build a brick house for next year. A championship. That's what they want to do.
Right,
they got the new guy coming in, and they got a new general manager, Adams. They got a new head coach. Could be Dan Quinn. We don't know from the Cowboys. You want to steal from your compete against. So you want to build. So Ken, thank you for bringing that to my attention. And now that you have it, that's the opportunity, the belief. So, you know, I'm getting fired up now because I'm here. And I think Ken and I, we can challenge two defensive players. Ken, if you can, we have Zach be our quarterback. Marnie, you be our coach. I cover you. Ken, you pick up. Don't let Timmy take that blitz. You pick get to Zach. I can pick that pass off.
Well, I think it would be great if you asked Drew and Timmy to join in your congressional football game. Perhaps they would do that for next year.
Definitely.
This year. Yes.
If they wanted to play or even stand on the sideline, we would love to have you guys. We coach this congressional football game. So we have about 30 Democrats and Republicans on the same team playing against the Capitol Hill Police in order to raise money for families of fallen officers. Okay. And the beauty of it is the same thing we always preach in sports is that sports can bring opposite groups together and teach them about winning and respect and all that stuff. Exactly. So we would love to have you guys, and we could talk about that after the show. Okay. To even be there, you don't have to play. If you want to play, you can, but we would love to have you there. And then Zach, since you're not a former player, I would love to have you as a tackling dummy because you like the Cowboys. Yeah. We get to hit you a couple of times. You can't hit us back.
Well, hey, if I could get a tackle in on Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi, I'd call that a pretty good professional day.
I would like to just brag on Timmy and Drew for 1 second before we're done. And, you know, football really is family. Obviously, we're all big fans of the NFC East. But Timmy and Drew, we met a couple years ago, and they have become incredible friends of mine and advocates and big champions of so many things that I enjoy doing, getting kids reading. And they're huge on that. But a couple years ago, Drew was at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And they asked him to read a book. And so the book that Drew had picked was my book, Football Freddy and Fumble the Dog, Game Day in Dallas, Fort Worth, which was fun. But the best thing about Drew is that he was heckling the kids in that he was reading to, which is so great. And he was asking the kids, and I love this about Drew because he's just so cool. He was asking the kids, are they, you know, what football team do they like? And some of the kids were like, I like the Giants. I like the Eagles. And Drew stopped and he goes, what's wrong with you guys?
Yeah, we had fun.
Very funny. And you know, they're great. And Timmy is always up for anything that I've ever, you know, said, Timmy, can you jump on this or do that or whatever? So thank you guys. And hearing you talk about football is the greatest thing ever. It gives me goosebumps and I could listen to it for hours. So thank you.
Timmy, are you still, I think, are you running marathons?
No. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
I am. Yep.
How old are you, Timmy?
I'm 65.
That's
running
awesome,
marathons.
Man.
Wow. Yes. Fantastic.
I mean, I've
run five thus far. I've run five marathons.
As John and I, or I'll speak for myself, as I'm getting older, you start looking, you're never too old to look for inspirations from other people. And that inspires us to know that you can get older, but you can still do some of those things that you never thought you could. So,
oh yeah.
And when Ken goes into a room, they play a theme song, Sanford and Son. But anyway.
You big dummy. Come on, man.
Hey, can we get we want Drew Pearson to take us out with a hut hut. Come on, Drew. How do we in this?
Yeah, I got a roll, guys. I'm going up to Choctaw Casino, do a deal for Dr. Pepper today, so I got to get out of here. Okay. So I'm gonna just leave you with this.
There it is.
Nice.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, there's me up there. You see that bus?
We kept seeing it throughout the show, man. It's sweet.
Yeah, well, that's why I sat in this room for y'all.
Yeah. Well, appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
You too, Marnie, you Philadelphia Eagle fan.
Well, I love, I love the Cowboys. I love the whole NFC East, but I love the Cowboys.
You know I'm kidding. You know I know. Love you too.
Thanks, Zach.
Let's do it again sometime.
Zach, Timmy, real quick.
Let's hook up, Timmy.
Okay, we'll do it. Thank you, sir.
Zach,
all right.
Zach, before you, is there any final words that you want to say, Zach? Drew, you can go. I know you got a roll.
Yeah,
Zach, anything you want to say, final words?
Thank you to Timmy and thank you to Drew for coming on today. I mean, that's a dream come true for a Cowboy fan like me. And hopefully next year, a year from now, we'll be celebrating the Cowboys' victory instead of their crippling defeat.
Hey, yep. I'm gonna jump the gun real quick and ask a favor, Marnie or Tim, since you're on, would it be possible to maybe get an autograph from you guys, from you and Drew, to get to Zach here for being on?
Sure, we can do it.
Oh wow, that's thank you,
See,
thank
that,
you so
Timmy
much. That's
best.
Incredible.
He is the best. Anything you ask Timmy to do, he's like, sure, I'll do it. I'll do it. Yeah.
Appreciate you, brother. Any last words for you?
Timmy, count me and Ken in on doing the next marathon with you.
Okay. Wonderful. All right.
Yeah.
I'm glad you actually left me out of that one.
We'll go to
Sam's and have dessert.
We can do the New York City Marathon. Back in 2024.
The New York City Marathon?
Yes.
As long as you can carry me on your back. I couldn't do it when I was playing. All right,
Zach's involved too. Zach can run with us.
I'll give you guys the water at the mile mark.
I will be cheerleading on the side of the street. Yeah.
Just John, anything? Any last words?
And that's it. Well, it was a great show. Appreciate you, Timmy. And man, I hope to get down. When I get down home to Texas, I went to TCU. So when I come back and visit family, I hope to get a chance to meet you in person.
Okay, looking forward to it. Thank you.
Yes,
Judge Marnie, any last words?
No, I love you guys. Football really is it really does. Like, I always get emotional when I talk about it because look at the friendships that watching you and you, Ken and John, talk to Timmy and Drew and get excited about that, like the respect and the love. And like, I feel it. That's how we all bonded and connected. So thank you. I don't know. It makes me happy.
All right. Court's over. Thank you guys for being on the show.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. Love you, Timmy. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye,
Zach.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Zach.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.